We're actually going to have you turn to two different passages of Scripture. The first passage will be the book of Nehemiah, chapter number 1. And then once you have found your place there, put a bookmarker there, because that'll be the second Scripture we actually read. The first Scripture we'll read, the one you're going to turn to then, will be the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 37. Say, where's Ezekiel at? Well, if you find Daniel, turn back a couple pages because Ezekiel comes just before Daniel. And once you have found your place there in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, if you're able to, again, go ahead and stand with us, if you would, please. And we'll get all your cardio done for the day here today with all this up and down business. Amen. Ezekiel 37, we're going to read the first 10 verses here today. The Bible says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you. And ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet in exceeding great army. You'll notice back there in verse number 3, he said, Son of man, can these bones live? Over in the book of Nehemiah, chapter number 1, we'd like to read the first 4 verses here. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanai, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, The remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept, and mourned certain days, and fasted, and prayed before the God of heaven. The title of our sermon is Can It Live Again? Our series that we are going to be kicking off here in the book of Nehemiah is about rebuilding the church. Rebuilding the church. So, can it live again? Our Father in heaven, we thank you, God, for all you've done for us, and we do pray, Lord, for your blessings upon this day. We ask you, Father, please, to help me, Lord, to say what needs to be said here today, nothing more, nothing less, and that each and every one here will be able to hear what is needed for them. That we will get the help, the encouragement, the inspiration, the joy, whatever it is that we are in need of today from the sermon here, so that we can go out and do a better job for you. So that we can see Faith Baptist here in Whiting flourish. So that we can see the community outside be able to see and understand and accept that yes, indeed, God is still here. God does indeed still love. God indeed still can save if we'll only turn to Him. Help us, Father, please, to be this lighthouse that is so desperately needed in this community. In the glorious name of Jesus Christ, we do cry out, Abba, Father. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So over the past several months, more than a year, I've been trying to see what it is the Lord would have for us to do. And many years ago, the Lord had laid it on my heart that if I were to ever become a pastor, what I needed to do was to preach through the Bible, to follow in the footsteps of men such as Criswell and McGee, to teach the whole Word. In fact, when I first did become a pastor, I had a little plaque made up and mounted on the pulpit. It says 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 2, "And the things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." I took this as a personal charge to follow the Lord in this direction here. And so last year, when it began to seem more and more evident that the Lord was indeed leading us over here to the church, that I needed to continue to follow this. We had started it over there at 29th Avenue. We went through the book of Acts between 29th Avenue and Garage Baptist. We actually finished up those sermons back in June. But I began to think, okay, Lord, what would be the next? Or do I go back to Acts? What would you have me to do? And more I found my thoughts being brought back to the book of Nehemiah. And I had a few people ask me, says, well, what are your plans for Faith Baptist here in trying to get the church built back up? One fellow in particular asked me this, and I responded to him, well, what the Lord has laid on my heart to do is to preach the Bible, and we're going to begin in the book of Nehemiah once it starts. And he was a little disappointed in what I had to say with this. He's one of those who, not trying to knock him, but believes in a lot of programs for the church. And there are some that do certainly have a good place in the church. I would love for us to get to the point where we have grown so much so that we can have a monthly women's meeting. We can have a monthly kids meeting. We can have a monthly teens meeting, a monthly men's meeting, so on and so forth. I believe these things can be very helpful. But I also see them more along the lines of a church that has finally at least gotten its feet underneath it securely, following the Word of God, that enough Bible has been brought to the people to build them up. And we began to preach the series on doctrine, and we certainly did not cover all doctrine over those 10 months, but I believe we helped to make sure the foundation of Jesus Christ, that the dust and the ruins of the past decade or so have been cleared away, so as that we can finally start to build up correctly as the Apostle Paul leads there in the book of 1 Corinthians. Amen. And so we finished off the doctrine, and a few oddball sermons here and there, but then we finally landed upon that series about what it takes to be a giant and dealing with faith. And we have to have the doctrine in order to build our faith. We have to have our faith in order to build the church. These are stepping stones, stairs, if you will, that you have to climb in order to go upward. If we don't go upward, we're just going to be walking across the same area that is already ruined. We need to see growth. We need to see some movement. How much does Meadow weigh now? Anyone know?
11 and a half.
She's 11 and a half. What? And when she was born, she was how many?
Four.
She was 4 and change. Now she's 11 and change. In just 4 months' time, church. The same little one there that we prayed about and were so deeply concerned about because she was so tiny. She was a preemie. But yet, here she is. She is growing. And Miss Martha was holding her earlier, and she's holding her head up like, I am the bomb. Look at me. I'm a big girl now. And at church, that should encourage us to follow the same suit spiritually. That we can indeed live again here at Faith Baptist here in Whiting, Indiana. We don't have to act like the bones there in the book of Ezekiel that are dead. That we can indeed have life about us here. And yes, we can mourn over the current state. But as you go through the book of Nehemiah, you're going to find that he didn't continue to mourn over that current state. They went about making some changes in their lives to see improvement. Amen. And that's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to make a few changes to see the improvements. I want to run us through a lot of scripture today, so I hope you brought pen and paper if you didn't bring your running shoes with you. Because I want to show you a few things here. Number one, I want to show you history in regards to Jerusalem. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 5 through 9 says, in Hebron he reigned, that's talking about David, over Judah 7 years and 6 months. And in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. And the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, which spake unto David, saying, except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither, thinking David cannot come in hither. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, the same as the city of David. And David said on that day, whosoever getteth up to the gutter, and smiteth the Jebusites and the lame and the blind that are hated of David's soul, he shall be chief and captain. Wherefore they said, the blind and the lame shall not come into the house. So David dwelt in the fort and called it the city of David. And David built round about from Milo and inward. David took a little city and he expanded it considerably. David took a city that says, we don't want you, and he went in there and they took the city. David took this city and said, not only is this Jerusalem, but it's now my city. It's now the city that's going to be called after me. It's now going to be the capital of Israel here. Jerusalem became important. Let me just throw this in real quickly for you. No other capital, no other nation on the earth has ever owned Jerusalem as its capital. Only Israel has owned Jerusalem as its capital. This is history. The history goes on in 1 Kings chapter 5, where we see the beginning of everything being brought together to build the temple for Solomon there outside of Jerusalem. The Temple Mount, the place where God was going to come and dwell with His Shekinah glory. Well, the high priest each year would take and offer the annual sacrifice on the Day of Atonement to roll the sins of the people back one more year until finally this only sacrifice that would stand, Jesus Christ would come and die upon the cross there at Jerusalem. It ain't Bethlehem he died. It ain't over in Ziklag he died. It ain't in England he died. It ain't in Washington, D.C. he died. It's Jerusalem that he died. Oh, by the way, rose again, amen, there in Jerusalem. This is history. There was a time when it was glorious history for the nation of Israel. They enjoyed great splendor during David's reign, during Solomon's reign. And there was a time here at this church under the previous name of Whiting where there was flowing, where there was people all over, where there was a need to have so many pews, where there was a need to have the soundboard up there, where there was a choir that sang. There was a time. Not going to deny it. There was a time. Things happen. Life happens. Sin happens. People get the big head, Brother Tim. People start doing things their own way. Feelings get hurt. People don't like that they didn't thank my casserole for the special service was any good. People got upset they wouldn't let me sing a special today. I wanted to hear somebody else preach today. And they've left. Happened here for Jerusalem too. In fact, Jerusalem ended up being destroyed over it all. 2 Kings chapter 25 verses 1 to 4. And it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign. Talk about Zedekiah. In the tenth month, in the tenth day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his host, against Jerusalem. And pitched against it, and they built forts against it round about. And the city was besieged unto the 11th year of King Zedekiah. And on the ninth day of the fourth month, a famine prevailed in the city, and there was no more bread for the people of the land, and the city was broken up. And all the men of war fled by night by way of the gate between the two walls, which is by the king's garden. Now the Chaldees were against the city round about, and the king went the way toward the plain. Jerusalem fell. Well, that's part of our history. Y'all see how many people are here today. We can't deny history. There's a very wise saying that those who do not learn from the past are doomed to repeat it. So if we keep trying to do the same thing over and over again, by the way, that's considered the definition of insanity. If you're expecting different results, though you keep doing it the same way. So we've got to overcome history by doing it somewhat different. Maybe there's something in history, Brother Tim, we need to get back to. Maybe there's something there in history that can teach us the correct way. We look there at the book of Ezekiel, and it talks about how God told the prophet, prophesy to those bones, and they came together. The sinew came back, the flesh came back. They're still dead as a doornail. Prophesy to the four winds, and breath came back into them. Holy Spirit, that's what the wind is a type of. We need the Holy Spirit to be blowing in our lives. We need the Holy Spirit to blow through us so that we can live as a church. So that we can live as individuals, but as a church, so that the outside can see that there is life inside of here, and that they can also come to life in Jesus Christ. But it ain't gonna happen until we overcome history. There were three total deportations of Israel. Two chances they had to come correct with the king of Babylon. And the third time he just said, all right, fine, forget it. I'm just going to take you all out of here. That's a warning shot to us, church. If we don't get back to doing it God's way, he could very easily take us on out too. Then who shall those things be which we have laid up in store? That's what he asked the fool. The fool said, hey, I've done this, I've done that, I've done this, and I've got that, and I've bestowed all my fruits here. And God says, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Ezekiel was part of that first group that went out. Ezekiel chapter 24, God tells him Jerusalem's about to fall. And she's done. Ezekiel 33 verse 21 says, and it came to pass in the 12th year of our captivity, in the 10th month, in the 5th day of the month, that one that had escaped out of Jerusalem came unto me, saying, the city is smitten. I don't want to go out of here with bad history. How about you? I don't want Faith Baptist to be seen as nothing more than Whiting Baptist rebranded. Same thing. Does that do us any good if it's the same thing, just a new name? I don't want that. I want something better. I think about how the Coca-Cola. Now I realize I'm going back before you all were born. Okay, but for us older folks, back in the 80s, Coca-Cola got the big head. They decided, we're going to change things. We're going to come out with a new version of Coke because Pepsi is mopping the floor with us on their taste test. So we're going to go ahead and come out with new Coke. And they came out with that awful stuff. Oh, my soul. Nasty. But hey, it was at least different. I don't want at least different. At least different was so lousy, they had to go back and remake the other stuff, and they labeled it as classic Coca-Cola because that was the good stuff. I want to get back to the classic stuff, church. I want the good stuff, church. I want to get back to God. I don't want faith to have been smitten. I don't want faith to have fallen. I want us to rise like the metaphorical phoenix rising from the ashes. There's a hedging, though, that we need to be on guard with here. Back there in Ezekiel 37, verse 11, "Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts." We got nothing to live for. These bones have literally just been put back together again. Hip bones connected to the knee bone and the thigh bone and the neck bone and however else that song goes there. Y'all know the one I'm talking about. It's back. They got heartbeats again. They're breathing again. And they're complaining again. Our bones are dry. Our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Woe is me.
Nobody knows the troubles I've seen. Y'all know this song way better than me.
I was at a church a few years back, and their homecoming service, they had a tradition. They would read the church's history. History can be great. Problem was, though, as they read their church's history every year at homecoming, adding on whatever little tidbits that had taken place throughout the course of the year, it became a funeral dirge. It became an obituary. We had this. We had that. We at one time did this. We at one time did that. And now we're just a shell. But hey, we know things will improve. Why? Talk to one person. They said, well, every time we get a new pastor in, we always get a huge influx of people. How long does that last? Well, it depends upon the pastor and his friends, you know. Oh, his friends. So when someone comes in who doesn't have friends, is it going to be a huge influx still? Turned out, no. Problem was, they were hedging themselves in. They looked at their traditions and they said, hey, we can rebuild from these traditions. It's reciprocal. It always comes around. What comes around goes around. No, I explained to them, look, it's not like that. If it's going to be spinning like that, you're either going down the toilet or you're about to fly apart. Centrifugal force will destroy you. Don't hedge yourself in with the things that we think work. How about we go with the things that God says do work? He tells us not to remove the old landmarks. They're in the book of Proverbs. Here's a landmark right here. Don't remove the landmarks. Follow what God would have for us to follow. Get back to the Word of God. I was telling you about that fella that I told him that we once we finally get going here, I want to go start with the book of Nehemiah. And he's like, I don't know. Well, that's fine that you don't know. I've been the one praying about it. That's fine that you don't know. I'm the one who understands that the Bible is like good medicine. It always works. Anyone ever hear of hydrogen peroxide? I think we all pretty much have. That's good stuff. You know, you can gargle with it, help get rid of your bad breath. It'll help clean your teeth. You put it on a wound, it helps get rid of the germs there. Doctors' offices don't stink of alcohol because they don't clean with alcohol. They clean with peroxide. It's a wonderful cleaning agent. And even though we take it, we spend millions upon millions of dollars to come up with the latest antibiotics, those germs still develop an immunity to our antibiotics, and we got to create new antibiotics. But they ain't got a development in the process for hydrogen peroxide yet. Hydrogen peroxide beats those germs every time. The Bible is good medicine. It will beat Satan every time. It will beat the cares of this world every time. It can get the job done if we'll get back to it. Instead of saying, well, our traditions will do it, and if we'll do this type of meeting, it'll do it, and we'll do this type of group, it'll do it. Just get back to the Bible. As you read through the book of Nehemiah, you'll find they kept going back to the Bible. And every time they sinned, you find out it's because they weren't in the Bible. These bones can indeed live again. This church can indeed live again. But we've got to have the right hedge about us. We got a hedge that honors God, or we got a hedge that excludes God. The issue for those bones there in Ezekiel 37 was that they wanted to live in the past, to keep doing things the way they've always done it. Not exactly going to work. These bones were here even though they had been given another chance to live again. Still complained and wanted to live in the past. So can it live again? Yeah. It's going to take heart. Again, back here in Nehemiah, let me read verse number 4 of chapter 1. It came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. The whole situation broke his heart. What he saw there in Jerusalem, what he heard about Jerusalem, what the people were giving him as evidence of the state of Jerusalem, broke his heart. He was not content to just go ahead and show up. He was not content to just go ahead and hear the report. He wanted to do something about it, church. Are we content with what we see, or are we willing to do something about it? Verses 5 through 11, he pours out everything to God. He confessed his sins. He confessed the sins of the nation. He also reminded God of God's own promises to his people. That if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, I will heal their lands. I will bring the captivity back. He reminded God, God, you said that and I'm holding you to it. You know what? It ain't wrong for us to hold God to his promises. Amen. We should hold ourselves to our own promises. Why can't we hold him to his promises? Because his promises are guaranteed. As readers, we will see this man, Nehemiah, here as he goes to the fallen city and he takes notes about what needs to be done. But the people who lived inside, completely oblivious that he's out there doing this. Not even paying a lick of attention that he's trying to make little repairs here and there. So he's looking. It's okay. We're going to need 30 yards of concrete for there. We're going to need a couple hundred tons of stone for there. We're going to need 5,000 boards for here. All over their heads. But that's okay because God does use people who work behind the scenes that nobody has a clue about to get little things done here and there. Because when you get those little things done here and there, it will allow you to get other things took care of that no one else needs to even worry about because God's already got it took care of for us. We're going to see people greatly encouraged, faithfully working, burdened down, We're also going to see people who are completely oblivious to their own sins. But then they will come correct and do the right thing when God touches their hearts about it. There's going to be fights. There's going to be some frights. There's even going to be some financial issues, which heaven knows we all love to deal with financial issues. But yeah, we're going to find out here in the book of Nehemiah. There's going to be the occasional backtracking, some backstabbing, and even some backbreaking work to be spotted here and there. But we're going to find it here in the book of Nehemiah. Time's going to be a major factor. In some instances, it's going to seem a lot like it's just flying by, lickety-split, like the month of August just flew past us. Other times, it's going to be like, time is moving so slow. And all of a sudden, speed up real quick. All the while, time is running out. And just like in the book of Nehemiah, not everything will be done right away. Much as I would love to see some things get done right away, just some basic maintenance we need to get done around the church, it still is going to take a little bit of time. It took some time here for them as well. But just like in the book of Nehemiah, like we said, not everything's going to be done the way we want it done. But if we do it God's way, we will see success with it. Just like in the book of Nehemiah, not everything is going to go smoothly. But if we stick with God, we will see success. Just like in the book of Nehemiah, not everyone is going to help. Some will even sit on the sideline and just watch. But if we keep our focus on God, we will see success. In Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17 and 18 says this: Then said I unto them, Ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, Let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. So here's my question to you today, church. I know it's more informative than challenging. But here's the question. Do we want to see this church live again? If so, I'm giving everybody here an assignment. Y'all didn't know there was going to be homework, did you? This is your ongoing church assignment. This, I don't care if you do this for your daily Bible readings or if you add this to it, but I'm challenging everyone here. There are 13 chapters in the book of Nehemiah. I don't know how quickly we're going to go through the book of Nehemiah. I can't tell you that. But I'm challenging everyone here to start reading through the book of Nehemiah. However quickly you get through it, up to you. Do it in a day, do it in 15 minutes, you know, do it in a couple of weeks, whatever. But when you're done reading the end of chapter 13, go back to chapter number 1 and start again. And keep doing this until we finish our sermon series here on the book of Nehemiah. The more you read God's Word, the more it will impress itself upon your minds. The more we read God's Word, especially here in the book of Nehemiah and what we're looking to do here at Faith, the more we will start to see the pieces coalescing together. What we're trying to get done here. I believe Nehemiah is the perfect book of the Bible to do this. The challenge is up to you, though. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us. And we do pray, Lord, that each and every one here heard what they needed to hear. I realize it wasn't an earth-shaking sermon. Certainly not how I normally would go about it. But I believe, Lord, that this is what you'd have for us for this first one. That this is good groundwork here. First nail being driven, I guess you could say. Help us, Father, please. Because we want to see this church grow. We want to see this church live. The last thing that any of us want is to be complaining about how our bones are dry. To be complaining about how the present isn't anything like the past. Complaining about anything. Lord, we want you. And we want Jesus to be high and lifted up. So help us, Father, please, to do this. In His name we ask. Amen and amen. If you please stand.